Okay, we want to start with Judas. Everybody's familiar with Judas. I think that's a great mystery about Judas. But I find there's some interesting things about Judas and some of the choices he made and what they might say to us about some of the choices we made. What are the circumstances? In terms of the scriptures I gave you, what's that describing? What went on? Betraying Jesus for money. All he wanted was money, wasn't it? And so we had Judas making this betrayal. Now he had, again, like we've looked at these folks, as we talked about them, they had a choice. In Judas's case, what was his choice? What were his choices? I'm trying to say. That's kind of, in Judas's case, it's kind of binary, isn't it? He either could have done what he did or chosen not to. And one of the things interesting to me, at least, is along the way, Judas had opportunity to make choices, change his way, put it that way, change his way. And maybe not even gotten to this point. But he got to the point, and he chose to accept the fact he did more than choose. He was instrumental in getting paid to betray Jesus. And so, as you look at Judas, what? Okay, Rocky, I can't figure out if you're stretching or want to ask a question.
You just said he had another choice.
Okay. Yeah, very good. He didn't have to. We had another example in associated with Christ's crucifixion that made a bad choice. Peter, and he did repent, didn't he? I mean, he was remorseful, but not the case with Judas. What was driving him? Yeah. As you look at, kind of getting into that, as you look at the choice he made and what influenced Judas to make a bad choice, foolish choice. There's a word for it. Greed. And that was Judas's problem. Was this the first time he exposed himself as being greedy? Okay, he used to steal from the box, the money box. There's a reason I say that Judas, you know, there was a time in Judas's life where he could have changed, and we never gotten to this point. You think Judas was doing what he was doing? You think Judas did what he did without the knowledge of anybody else? Very clearly. You wonder how the other apostles would have known. But he has it made. In terms of making a good choice, what could have influenced him to make a good choice? He didn't follow through, but what would influence him? That's one of the things interesting to me is Judas was with Christ. He's with the other apostles. Of course, you see some strange things from the other apostles from time to time. But Jesus had taught. He's with him 3 years, saw miracles, and yet it doesn't appear that Judas was impacted positively at all by any of that, up to the point in time he betrayed Jesus. So it wasn't for lack of influence. This was not something he had to do. In fact, it's not something that he did in a vacuum. That is to say that he had no positive influences in his life. We sometimes like to blame our faults on others. In Jesus' case, he had ample opportunity to change and not follow this role. What about us? What lessons do you learn out of this? There may be more than one. Do you have to be stealing to be greedy? There's an example in the Bible of a man who was, you might not say he was greedy, or you might say he was greedy. It's certainly, what he had, there's nothing wrong with what he had. I don't know if you who I'm talking about, but remember the farmer who his crop, he was blessed, he had the crops. What did he do? Stored up for, he wanted to have build more barns so he could have more. And it's a greed, it's a desire to have more. It's not necessarily thievery sometimes with it, not necessarily that. Yeah, man. Right. So, we make mistakes. That happens. The question is, what are we going to do with them? We're going to say, for the easy way out, which is obviously not really the easy way out, is to kill ourselves. In the case of Judas, somebody's hand was up.
And I guess just folks of greed, it's not that it's wrong to appreciate nice things, it's what you're willing to compromise to have those.
Let me just make one observation about Judas in terms of hanging himself. Peter was remorseful and repented of his sin. Judas went out and hung himself. If we find ourselves in a position where we're in sin, it's like Matt said, we might want to try to give up, take the easy way. What? There's a lot. There's a speed question, I guess. To figure out what I'm thinking to get to the answer. We've seen one factor in a lot of these people we've had before us. There's some underlying. I'm not going to be able to get this out the way I want. My wife has been married to me for long enough to know. Right. I mean, you wonder when he actually went out and hung himself at that point in time. He did what he did. Why didn't he fess up and pray God for forgiveness, Jesus' forgiveness? I don't know that. I'm just guessing. Yeah. there's another underlying theme we talk about that we've seen in all of these cases, either the absence of it or the presence of it. We'll see in the rest of it. How do we know what to do? Somebody said something. Faith. I mean, there's an underlying, Steve brought it up last week, or Sunday. It's an underlying all of this. Is either, you know, do people have faith or not? And this is back to Matt's point. How we can make mistakes. The question is, do we have the faith and trust in God to correct those and get back on the track, or do we not have faith and basically step away somehow? Okay. Okay, let's move on to chief priests, Pharisees. What's the circumstances? I mean, there's a lot of things we could pick on Pharisees. I just picked out one section I wanted to deal with. Okay, Lazarus is raised. So that's the circumstances. We have Jesus raising Lazarus. Okay. Verse 47 of chapter 11. What Linda is referring to, therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we going to do? What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So there was an issue, we'll deal with this some more if we go on. Certainly, they're not wanting to lose their position. Let's just move on down. They had a choice, right? They had a choice in the case of Lazarus. What could they have done? In the case of raising Lazarus, excuse me. Yeah, the obvious. Look at that. Right, believe. Look at verse 45. Let me just read verse 45 of chapter 11. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done, believed in him. So you have a whole group of people that believe in Jesus, but not the chief priests and Pharisees. And so you've got they had a choice, and something was driving them to take a different path. And I think it's been alluded to. What was it? Why did they do what they did? My favorites. Pride. There's in the verses Matthew and Mark, it's another set of circumstances, but it's kind of interesting how Pilate laid his finger right down on the problem when the people were wanting to crucify Jesus. Why were they wanting to crucify Jesus according to Pilate? Anybody remember? Envy. They were envious. And you see that here, what I read a while ago. So you have pride. And you might also say there was, we found this lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. There's also lust of the flesh. In that, at least I describe it that way, they had power. I mean, it was a constrained power, but nonetheless, they were important. They had power. So that had an impact on their well-being, if you please, That's how. One could say they were blind, couldn't you? Because it was right before their face what to do. And that's not unique to Pharisees, I'll say that. That's what drove them to do the wrong thing, which is what they ended up doing. What should have influenced them, or what were the influences for them to do, make the right choice, not pursue this path of persecution and refusal and ultimately crucifixion? Yeah.
Self-examination, that is the
war, it sounds simple, doesn't it? But what was it about the? That's right. What was it? What was it about the environment that they found themselves in that would allow that to happen?
They were afraid of losing power.
That wouldn't happen. What was there to help that happen?
Okay.
And they had the signs, and so all these things there. By the way, yeah, Philip. Of course, yeah, it's true. I mean, they did expose themselves, and Jesus made that clear in no uncertain terms. But think about that a minute. Well, maybe I'm jumping ahead. I'll talk about that when we talk about what it means to us. Rocky? That goes back to they had the law. These were the teachers. And so sometimes, and that's not unique to their day. I mean, we can run into that same problem, do run into that same problem now. Do we have the law? Do we have a law today? Okay, so we can have that same problem. Let's do what we want to do rather than go to the scripture. All right, so some of the things that would have been beneficial to them. There was an interesting one in, I didn't put this down in your lesson. Remember John 9 and 10, takes two chapters, but it was the healing of the blind man and how there was evidence, obviously there was evidence of the healing. And so there was no doubt about this. But they wouldn't believe the man. They wouldn't believe the man's parents. They wouldn't believe Jesus. Wouldn't believe the man. They wouldn't believe what they saw with their own eyes. So, you know, there was ample evidence of this man is who he says he is from his walk on earth and the things that he did. John 10, I read that? No, I didn't read that. John 10 in verse 37. Jesus makes the point, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him. So, you know, that's kind of like right over the head. Unwilling to accept. But that's then, that's them. What about now? What's the lesson for us? Our last sentence.
Don't be blinded by your pride and your power
hunger. And how do you avoid not being blinded? Sorry? We have a record of that, don't we? What other lessons? Yeah, Mark.
Always investigate what you see. I come back to the word, see if it's true or not.
again, there's that underlying thing, faith. I mean, if we want to avoid making the same kind, we see those that we're trying to learn from. Fundamentally, we keep going back to the same thing. That is, going back to the Scriptures, going back to faith. And we don't get that through osmosis. There is another thing. We may not think about this too much, but I mean, I've seen it in life and at risk of being having the same problem. A lot of you work in industry or an office or whatever. You ever run across somebody who wants to be the boss? They may not be the boss, but you run into somebody who wants to be the boss? And if they're not, you know, they may think they should be. If they're not recognized as that, they get upset about it. We do a good job. We don't get rewarded for it. Or we have a group we work in. And we say, well, I know more than you do, so I'm going to exert my influence. You know, our pride can do the same thing. We can start to decide we're going to be something that we have no business placing ourselves in that position. Somebody may appoint us that, but we can feel like we have to have the last say, so to speak, first and last for that matter. And so you know, a lot of times that, at least I ran into that when I was in work. What was Jesus's purpose in coming to? That's a broad question. What was Jesus's purpose in coming to earth? So you can save the lost, and in doing so, did he come to be served? Did he come to be served?
To serve others.
To serve others. And so, if you want to help yourself avoid getting into a position where you are the chief honcho, take on a service mentality. Instead of I'm going to be boss mentality, particularly with respect to your brethren. Excellent point. It has to be also response to correction. In my notes, how do we respond to correction? That's what we should do. But how do we sometimes respond? Angry, we, you know. Yeah, defensive, we're good at that. Tell John. You said it. I was getting ready to re-say it. It does, I think, yes, Steve's made this point, I'll paraphrase, made it a number of times in the pulpit. You know, this is what, when he presents something, if you have some questions about that, see me. You know, we, or when I was 20 years old, I knew everything. And now I don't know everything, you know, as I've gotten older. So that's the we need to be the kind of people who are open to examination. And the Pharisees clearly, by and large, weren't. Okay, let's move on. Barnabas, Galatians 2. What's going on? That was not hard. Yeah. What's wrong with that? You have this party of James. The Jews came. When the Jews were around, Peter ceases to eat with the Gentiles. And others do too. Now, we're not talking about Peter, though. Who are we going to talk about? Or what happened to Barnabas? What's the big deal with Barnabas? Yeah. He did what Peter did. As did maybe other people as well. But Barnabas is the one we're looking at. And so he was carried away, and Paul says, carried away in the hypocrisy. What was really ironic, I think I always found it ironic about this, and you do too, is Peter, what do we note about Peter? Peter's history. He had a lot of, well, that's true. That wasn't what I had in mind. Okay, he taught the first Gentile, and what happens in here in earlier in Galatians, when Paul's talking, what did Paul do in let me jump over to it. What happened in Acts 15? Okay, Acts 15. No, that's Acts 10. Acts 15. It comes out of Galatians 2. He goes back to Jerusalem. What was being taught to the people out of the church of Jerusalem that came over here? Let's be circumcised. So Paul goes back to Jerusalem, and they have this discussion. Who's one of the presenters in that discussion? Peter is one of them. Making the case that no, you don't have to be circumcised, or being part of the case being. No, or confirm. No, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. And yet, here we find Peter over back to the chapter. He's involved in partiality on the simple side of it. Sin, in terms of how he's treating his brethren. And like I said, I don't want to talk about Peter. There's not much said about Barnabas, obviously, but Barnabas, what do we know about? What was Barnabas when he was first introduced to us? How was he introduced? Son of encouragement, somebody said? Encouragement. Son of encouragement. And that's what his name meant. And was he an encourager? And we see what was written about him in Acts, he was an encourager. And yet, go over to Galatians, and now he won't eat with the Gentiles. You think that was encouraging? So it's really, for him, it's a change of the way he behaved. Now, question for you. What was the thing that was causing him to make that Barnabas to be caught up in that? Possibly the influence of people. What do we call that?
Peer pressure.
And now, you don't, the specifics of how who had the most influence, one does not know. But it's pretty clear from Galatians that there was pressure to join or not to eat with the Gentiles. And peer pressure, what does peer pressure work on? When a person is under peer pressure, what's that working on? Working on his fears? Fear of what? Fear of not being accepted? So I said insecurities?
Compromise.
Let's see. Lust of the flesh. Huh? Lust of the flesh. Oh, pride of life. This is interesting. At least to me it is. You know, I don't want to be standing out like a sword. I don't want to take a stand. I want to be with the rest of the group. And so, you know, we may not think of it in terms of I'm going around with my thumbs under my armpit, in my armpits. A little exaggerated, but not proud in that sense. It's not, you know, pride just raises its head so many ways. Okay, so that's the thing that those kinds of things we talk about that caused him to make a foolish decision. How about what would make him, what should have made him, what should have influenced him to make a wise decision? Yeah, I mean, who did he spend time with? And he had gone out, separated from Paul, taught more. So he was a teacher, and he, you know, you would expect him to be very well versed in what he's teaching. And I'm sure he was, but sometimes I'm jumping. So that's one. That's one thing. Anything else that would cause him to make a wise decision or help make a wise decision?
Sometimes we get in our own little groups. You can have a visitor walk into the church. I know I did a visitor in the church one time. Walked right in, walked right out. Of course, that ain't. That was like 200 people. And I have to stand in front of them.
Yeah, probably, maybe. Well, versus he is, I would not think that would have been his primary thing. Trying, I don't know. Yeah, we might fall into that trap. That's true. Yeah, let me read Hebrews 10:32. And Linda and I do not work our lessons together, but she leads. She's a good leader. And do I want to say 10:32? Of course, they were, you know, the Hebrew Christians were in danger of just totally falling away. Some had. In verse 32 of chapter 10, it says, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have yourselves a better possession, a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance." This is a risk we have, no matter how strong we are and how strong we should be. This is a risk we have that we can throw away that promise that we have and turn back on it. So, you know, I don't know. You know, we're not giving a lot on Barnabas and Peter in that little section. But you have to wonder, given their background, why that would happen, how they could fall into that trap. And know that we can, just like they did. Anything else on that before I get the last?
Well,
yes.
Of course, we have a tendency to participate.
don't want to be not one of the people, not one of the guys. Okay. Good point. Paul didn't like it. Couldn't stand his guts. Nobody wants to bite on that one. Yeah, Paul loved him, didn't he? Okay, last guy. Noah. What's Noah's situation? We all know what Noah's situation is. He's building an ark, isn't he? He's teaching everybody else how to build an ark. And everybody's excited because they can build an ark just like Noah's. They're having a race and build the biggest ark. So Noah's out there. How many people with him? How many people building an ark? Assuming they were doing some work. Not sitting back saying, Dad, go for it. So you got 8 people out of there. How many? Who knows? Likely millions. One would think. I don't know. I have no idea. But lots of people. Noah had a choice to make. What was it? What were Noah's choices? Hey, he said, no, I don't believe you. I'm going to make the ark. What's another choice? How many times have we done that? How many times have I done that? Okay, it's down to God told him what to do, didn't he? He had chosen to build it out of who knows what. Oak. Too hard. Something easier. Fine. Yeah. But he went ahead and did it and did it according to the pattern. God did everything God said. Did. So he filled it according to whatever pattern God gave him. Detail. That's what he did. What do you think would have was influencing Noah to not keep going? Either not start or keep going. Oh, there's that peer pressure again. People around him. What else? Yes. That's what caused you to do the right thing. What caused you to do the wrong thing? How long did he work on this thing? Do I remember? 100 years. We don't need this kind of a boat. We need this other kind. We don't need all those. Somebody posted something on Facebook. I had a lot of use for it, but it just tickled me. One aspect that tickled me, that was, they didn't think much of geese. And it was something about Noah was upset because God put geese on the ark. You know what geese are like. You'd understand why anybody would be upset with them. But anyway, God decided with animals, some people. There's another thing. How much rain had fallen on the earth at this time? To our knowledge, I don't know if anybody ever seen rain. But we built this rock, and definitely never seen it. They've had rain. They've definitely not had this kind of rain. So why should I? What rain? What's that? So, you know, there's all kinds of room for change, doubt, the duration, the endurance, the lack of help. I mean, he's lonely in the sense he's got his family, but you know, everybody else is against him. How much ridicule did he get? All these things could have driven Noah to make a different choice, just give up, as somebody said. But he didn't. Why did he? What was driving Noah to make a wise decision, a wise choice? Faith, pure and simple. And you don't have to say much beyond. I don't have. You may want to say beyond that, but I don't have anything else to say. Trust in God. Of course, Hebrews 11 tells you that. What about our lives? What do you learn? What lessons? Maybe we've hit a lot of them. But bring it home. What lessons? I don't have time. Well, I'll say it. I don't have time to read 1 Corinthians 15, but I think I made a discussion, had a discussion, made some statements about this once before for you. How many of us in here have ever seen heaven? How many of us in here want to go to heaven? Why? How do you know it's there? You ever seen it? Faith. That ought to be what drives us to do God's will. You know, heaven is just as much of, or rather, the rain or the flood is just as much of a unknown, was just as much an unknown to Noah as heaven is to us. But that didn't stop Noah and it shouldn't stop us.
As you pointed out, while his faith was what caused them to have God this year, but throughout Hebrews, the last part of Hebrews 10 through chapter 11 and the first part of chapter 12, faith is being pictured as the foundation of hope. It says you turn it off to the saving of the house. And so it's that hope to keep Hebrews keep going in the face of trials and difficulties. If you're not going to have hope, you don't have faith.
And you're not going to realize your hope if you don't have something else that section deals with, which is endurance. Stay the course. Okay, that is...